di Rupa Bali Podcast. Episode kali ini masih dalam rangka media coverage dari Rupa Bali untuk Ubud Writers and Readers Festival atau URF. Jadi salah satu panel yang bisa kita datangi dalam main programnya judulnya adalah Where is Indonesian Art Going? Kemana seni Indonesia akan menuju ke mana seni di Indonesia, kesenian di Indonesia. Waktu itu pembicaranya adalah Aaron Seto dari Museum Macan dan Saras Dewi, lulusan UI ya. Jadi deskripsi dari main program Where is Indonesian Art Going ini menyatakan seni Indonesia sama beragam dan dinamisnya dengan budaya yang berkembang di seluruh Nusantara bersama banyak seniman yang memadukan tradisional dengan teknik baru. Di sini kita akan menelusuri perkembangan seni kontemporer di Indonesia bersama Aaron Seto, Direktur Museum Macan, dan seniman Saras Dewi. Adapun pertanyaan dari mereka adalah bagaimana ekosistem seni melibatkan galeri dan museum di era pasca pandemi dan bagaimana seni kontemporer Indonesia mengidentifikasi diri di tengah iklim seni yang kosmopolitan dan lintas batas. Kebetulan waktu itu cuma sempat mengikuti sebentar dan setelah itu sempat juga ngobrol dengan seorang kawan yang memang mengikuti dari awal. Nah, untuk kawan yang kami ajak ngobrol nanti adalah Sidi, yaitu dia juga seorang seniman IA, kurator IA, penulis IA, dan sekarang bekerja di Queer Indonesia Archive, jika tidak salah. Nah, jadi ini sekilas cuplikan-cuplikan daripada main program tersebut. Selamat mendengarkan.
So I guess what happens when you have a very famous global contemporary exhibition and then you have, a radical Indonesian collective and you have this clash of cultures and worlds? And I mean, it did generate a huge amount of headlines. Can you explain a bit about sort of some of the, I guess, cultural clashes and some of the controversies?
Let's not talk about them because we'll be here all day.
There
has been a... accusations and also evidence of anti-Semitism, and that's been one of the big things. So that the German infrastructure, the kind of governance and bureaucracy, is very interested in that weight of history in terms of the Jewish experience. The other thing about the exhibition is it doesn't fit into the normal idea about what an exhibition is.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things I think that, you know, what we're talking about is they're not about representation.
Yeah.
So it's not about representing communities or representing a process. It is actually about the process. And that requires a bit of a shift in mindset for good middle class bourgeois audiences to think differently about their hallowed museum halls. You know, that anyone can be there. You could be a street kid and be able to be in that space. And so I'm going to just show. I'm showing a few images. This is one of the first things that you see. I mean, there are very few art objects. So one of the first things that you see, and I always get the pronunciation wrong, the Frederikianum in Kassel. It's a neoclassical building. First thing that you see is probably what we all have at our front doors, is a welcome mat. And this is not an art object. I think it just gives you an indication that actually you're welcome. This is one of my favorite images that I took. I don't have very many images of art. I've got images of people just hanging out, enjoying themselves. And I've written the little inscription here, I've written is an exhibition as multitasking. So the inset, you can see the actual exhibition. There are artwork banners. You can see parts of that neoclassical building. But then they've created these structures where actually you can hang out and read. All of the materials are there for you to read. And people were doing it. I mean, I think it was really, really beautiful. And then quickly, the first thing that you see is it's called Rural Kids. And so if any of you know about Rural Kids, they also have a kids program. So this is effectively a creche So when you walk into the building, on the right-hand side, you've got that welcome mat, and then in the left-hand wing, you have effectively what is a creche. So activities for children. So what does that tell you? That this, their preferences or their priorities are different from normal classical exhibition making. Education often comes afterwards. But what would happen if education actually came first? What would happen if you said to people, actually, you're welcome? Anything can happen in this space. So I thought that was a really, very beautiful touch. It looks really free-form, but as I was saying to a friend of mine yesterday, the level of detail in terms of the design and their thinking through public space, which is actually what the basis of Room Group is, I think, is really about arguments of public space, is very, very strong. The other video is in the Documenta Halo. What they include, there is traditional artwork there. You can see the mural on the back. There's, on the other side, there's a work from Bangladesh. But there's actually a skate ramp. And it's not just a representation of a skate ramp to represent the kids who might be allowed to come in. It actually functions as a meeting point for people. And it's not an inversion of where those publics lie, it's just action. So that's the thing that I think that comes out of it. Activities happening. The other thing that was in this hall was a printing press. So, you know, it was just a beautiful moment. When you're outside of that exhibition space, lots of conversation about the anti-Semitism. They should have done this, they should have done that, that was right, that was wrong. But when you go through the spaces, all you see are people with smiles on their faces. And I think that what I said to some of the curators is that it was wonderful in the true sense of that word. It was just filled with opportunities to wander and to wonder. So.
It seems a classic example of where a media furore, if you like, can overshadow an event, you know, and sort of when there was clearly a lot of joy and a lot of merit to the exhibition.
I think exhibitions like that also fit within a bigger system, ecosystem. I think that is really talking about something else. It's really talking about the German state. It is of course connected to the exhibition, but they're just layers of layers going on, and that's just it's not a meta-narrative because it's kind of almost central, but it's not necessarily talking about, but it's super important because I think with this documentary, you begin to better see the puppet masters and how that this works. Mm. I mean, the way that I also describe it is a clash of epistemes. You know, what happens when you let brown people come in into the one of the most powerful European/Western projects? It's a clash of episodes. They don't actually really know how to talk to each other.
Well, where we've talked for a long time, are there any questions from the audience? Oh. so on the left, yep. You're right, the one
turning
around, yeah.
I'm Siri from Bali. So talking about the future of Indonesian art, I have like one question about like the future of the distributions and infrastructures and then supportive ecosystem and how we include the particular pieces actually. Because we've been seeing like the art has been centralized mostly in Java, Bali, Bandung, Jogjawa. At the same time, we have like Makassar Biennale to focus on the East Indonesian and also to develop, maybe also to preserve like their own practices. But we can see like we have some other practices that might not be included in what we call as aesthetical contemporary art or as a white cube gallery-based art. Sometimes it gives the sense that the art and the issues brought in the artworks will only be seen and discussed if it's shown in the central area like Bali, Java, and Jakarta, Bandung. At the same time, we've seen the developing of collective as well, and how art opened its space to the other disciplines. They intersect with it. Like Good School has, they done like a mapping of collective from all over Indonesia through like Fixer project, I think. And yeah, I mean, my questions will be like, as a curator, as a writer, as also like museum management, how you see like this Indonesian contemporary art, how do this influence like the art to like the other areas and or region of Indonesia? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sidi. He's also a very talented photographer. I think also, as you said earlier, how we use the word distribute and to become a more creating an egalitarian art communities strewn across Indonesia. And I think some of the attempt to show the diversity in Indonesia, in a way, as I said earlier, of course we are happy and grateful that there's focus and care for how to, as Aaron said, to maintain the ecosystem of arts in the eastern part of Indonesia, for instance. And it's coming through, especially, as you said, through festivals. And now I think never before in Indonesian history, now I think most of it is being funded by cultural funding from the government, and in a way it's a good affirmative political act by the government. But also what I'm trying, and I'm with you by saying, how do we avoid, when we think about diverse artistic experiences and individuals, how do we reject tokenism by just putting the work of art or the individual merely there? As I said earlier, for instance, such as the street artists in Bali and Binal, they are thinking how not only the work of art and the artists, they are trying also to create not only as when we see in the facade of Indonesia as a tourist destination, for instance, where we are thrown by images and practice of art such as dance, that is sometimes it's purely very banal, it, just in the facade. But when we are talking about the experiences by the people living in eastern part of Indonesia, there's a disparity there. So I would think how do we promote culture, and to also not only promote culture it as an object, but it's as a life world of this community. I think that's also the task and how to formulate that right now.
Would like to, sorry, move to that. Yes. Yep.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm an artist. So my question is, how can we sell our art if it's give other perspective from others? Because my mentor told me that when you are want to be a commercial artist, you have to, I guess, follow your emotion and feelings. I'm a very logical person, so it's very hard for me to follow my emotion and feeling. And then it's hard also to sell political art. If you are not political sensitive, collector will not buy your art. If you are not I think like collectors in Jakarta, they prefer arts like, you know, thinking about the emotion, like you are being like heartbroken, or you are being backstabbed, or you are being you know, all those negative feelings, and you just have to put that on canvas, and that's what collectors want. But if you are being like political sensitive, and then you are talking something about like the war in Ukraine, maybe, or the West Papua things, my mentor said that it's not something that author wants to buy. So how can we, if we want to express ourselves through these things from others' perspective, how can we sell our art? Because artists need to sell their art to live, right? Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. He attends every year. Just everybody knows, like.
I think that's kind of a very complicated question to answer in a short period of time. But just as one anecdote, Tarang Padi, who are the kind of the core artists who created all of this controversy, one thing about their practice is that the banners and the things that they actually use in the political protests, they do not call artwork. So that there's already a distinction. I mean, that they've created their own set of standards in terms of instead of meanings about why and how and when they do things. So yours is a very complicated answer to have, I think. Yeah, I don't have an answer for you.
We're running out of time.
One more. There will only be like one last question because of the time limitation.
Oh man, it's about Documenta, because I was there at the press preview and I'm pissed off that all of this attention got onto that anti-Semitism thing and no attention got put on what Ruang Rupa was trying to do. And actually, I kind of want to ask you what you think, because of all this unfortunate focus on this stupid issue that these Germans came up with, what really can we do to support what Ruang Rupa is trying to do? This, I think they're trying to make a revolution, and that's been forgotten. So what are you seeing right now that maybe can give me some heart, that maybe that Documenta made a difference this year?
Yeah, and what Ruang Rupa has created radically is when we understand layers of spaces and how spaces are created based on diverse experiences, and how those spaces are not only about the color or even the spectacle of the object, but as Aaron said, it talks about issues and real problems being lived by people across the world. It talks about humanity and also talks about how we should overcome and how can we overcome this trap of violence and domination. And I think that's the power of art. It creates in a way, I wouldn't say it's symbolized, but also it's our imaginary attempt to create alternative spaces that talk about equality, humanity, the collective solidarity, and that's what it is about. It gives us hope that artists are working about it. Thank you.
Jadi sih
apa tuh?
Jadi bukan ini tentang Indonesian art. Itu tadi
the future of Indonesian art. Contemporary art.
Mereka ngebahas apa aja sebenarnya?
Tadi mostly kayak karena ada dua speaker ya, satu Mbak Yayas, satu Aaron. Kalau Mbak Yayas fokusnya lebih ke the future of Indonesian contemporary arts dari perspektifnya ini sih kayak skena Bali gitu. Jadi dia banyak ngomongin tentang gimana seni itu bisa intersect sama activism. Kayak contohnya dia sih bawa praktiknya Beli Alit, Beli Madebaya, sama Citra gitu. Gimana kayak masing-masing punya stand, political stand yang cukup, apa namanya, cukup radikal gitu, tentang ya tentang kegelisahan mereka masing-masing sih. Terus ya tadi sempat bahas juga kayak Peluk benoa dan protes dan segala macam. Dan gimana itu bisa ternyata bisa bisa diincorporate dengan seni gitu dan bisa jadi satu pembahasan sendiri. Kalau Aaron lebih ke praktek-praktek yang dilakuin museum macan tentang gimana mereka kayak mengkurasi seni yang ada di Indonesia sih, siapa prosesnya gimana, proses kurasinya gimana, kenapa hal itu dilakukan dan segala macam. Lebih ke situ. Sama tadi dia terakhir bahas dokumenta.
Iya.
Telat banget.
Maaf, ini hostnya telat ya, tadi masih ngumpul duluan soalnya. Jadi menurutmu gimana talking hari ini?
Sebenarnya mirip sama pertanyaanku tadi sih, aku tanya tentang kalau ngomongin Indonesian contemporary art itu kok kayaknya pembahasannya selalu dari perspektifnya central area gitu, kayak Bali, Jogja, Bandung, Jakarta gitu. Museum macam di Jakarta, Mbak Yayas bahas tentang Bali gitu. Tapi kayak kita jarang banget ngomongin tentang gitu, kayak desentralisasi infrastruktur misalnya, atau gimana distribusi kayak distribusi aku nggak perhatian tension
sih, tension juga.
Ya tension juga di daerah-daerah lain yang mungkin kayak prakteknya mungkin nggak akan se-estetik atau nggak akan sekontemporer ya, tanda kutip ya yang di sentral gitu tapi mereka punya praktek-praktek yang juga harus dilihat sih. Dan menurutku sih mereka satu proyek yang udah pernah dilakukan kan yang Fixer sama Good School itu dia mapping kolektif-kolektif yang ada di seluruh Indonesia tapi itu baru mapping aja gitu. Walaupun dari mapping itu ada networking ya dan mereka mulai terkoneksi satu sama lain, tapi kayak aku penasaran aja sebagai seorang writer, kurator dan tadi kayak museum management gitu kayak gimana mereka melihat case ini gitu. Karena kan ya biar ada diskusi aja gitu, biar ada nanya aja.
Tapi menarik kok pertanyaan. Memang penting banget sih, dan sampai sekarang memang menurutku ya masih kurang disentuh. Perlu disentuh lebih lagi.
Tapi aku setuju tadi kayak pertanyaannya Mbak Yayas, kayak Dirjen Kebudayaan lewat program-program mereka udah mulai kayak ya open call untuk funding terus nggak cuma open call tapi mereka dampingin dari proses bikin proposal dan segala macam ada banyak meeting gitu. Nah itu jadi salah satu bagian yang penting untuk proses desentralisasi itu. Dan mungkin aku gak tahu nih, kan kita akan pemilu lagi nih 2024. Nah nanti
udah
gimana?
Mikir kesana ya bro.
Gitu sih. Tapi overall menarik sih, kayak aku seneng pembahasan dokumenta tadi juga karena akhirnya nyentuh kayak praktis lain kan. Gak cuma yang white cube gallery based exhibition gitu, tapi juga proses. Begitu saja, sekian untuk hari ini. Terima kasih sudah diwawancara.
Terima kasih Sisi.
Demikian episode kali ini, semoga bermanfaat. Jangan lupa follow Instagram kami di @rupabalipodcast untuk update-update selanjutnya, dan juga silakan kirim kritik saran di email yang tertera di Spotify kami. Sampai jumpa di episode selanjutnya.